Okay, Shmuel Bey's Parak Aleph, we're now, it's unfortunate, Shaul HaMelech has passed away, we're now fully into Shmuel HaNavi's life. It says, Pasuk Aleph, Vayichrei Mos Shaul, after Shaul HaMelech, David Shav Me'akos Zamalek.
David's life,
I'm sorry, yeah. But David Shav Me'akos Zamalek, and David, right, returned from killing the Amalekim, Vayish David Tziklag Yom Shanim, Shnayim. So he stayed in Tziklag for 2 days, it was only 2 days altogether, right? The Malvin points out that just when all seems lost, they lost this huge war, Shaul HaMelech is dead, Yehonasan is dead, but the new leader steps up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us, don't worry, I have somebody right sitting in the back seat waiting for everything right over here. Now, it is interesting as well. Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom because he didn't fight Amalek properly. David HaMelech is about to destroy, he destroyed Amalek over there, and he's about to meet a Ger Amaleki. It's a clear sign that the reason why Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom is because he didn't do this properly. When this happened, the battle that he had done in Tziklag, he made Chaf Zion. LeDavid HaShamori. That's when he did LeDavid HaShamori. He said how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lit up him and everything he needed was right over there. We notice over here it starts with the word Vayihi. Not always. Vayihi Bimei is always something sad. Vayihi sometimes sad, sometimes is not. Here it definitely is something sad because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was grieving over the fact that Shaul HaMelech had died. The Yibam HaShlishi was the third day. Vinei, Ish Ba Minu Machanamim Shaul. Right? There was a man that came from the camp from Shaul himself. Uvagadav Kruim. His clothes were torn. The Adam al Rosho, he had dirt on his head. When he came to David, he fell down to the ground and he bowed down completely in front of him. Now, it sounds like he's from Shaul HaMelech's entourage. That's what it means. Bam mina machaneh. He came from the camp itself. Now, it could be that this is, you know, this Ger HaMelech, he was just a random guy over there. But Chazal tell us, and the Medrash says, this was not just Tama person, it was Doeg Goadomi. The same Doeg Goadomi who tried to kill David before had escaped the war, and was now trying to placate the new king, to try to get his in with the new king. That's who Doeg Goadomi was. Yes, he had destroyed the city of Novir Kohanim. Yeah, he had, from that point beforehand, he had tried to kill David HaMelech with everything that Shaul HaMelech was saying, and now he's coming to try to make peace with David HaMelech himself. David said to him, where are you coming from? I escaped from the Machane of Yisrael. David, what was? Remember, he knew about this war, but he had gone to the Amalekim, the Tziklag, because he was kicked out by the Plishti camp. So, Yadavar, Hagednali, please tell me. Unfortunately, the people started running away. Because as we already said, Tchilas Nefila is Nisa. The beginning of the falling of anybody is when they start to run away. The people ran away from the war. They got hard enough, many people died. But Gam Shaul Yonasan Beno Meso, and not only them, but also Shaul and Yonasan his son have also died. Now it's clear he did this in stages. The reason why he did it in stages is because he did not want to worry about what was going to be with the rest of the people over here. He didn't want to deal with David HaMelech crying and whatever all the way in the beginning. He wanted to tell him little by little what was going to happen. And it's interesting, the last thing he said was Yehonasan died. Not just Shaul died, but Yehonasan died. Because that, to him, to David HaMelech, would be the most outstanding. Because obviously Shaul HaMelech was a huge loss. But the fact that Yehonasan was dead was also a huge thing right over here. Now, it's possible he may have only reported Yehonasan and not the other sons because he didn't know that they were dead. Maybe he had no idea what happened to Malkishua and what happened to Avinadav. We have absolutely no idea what happened over there. But it seems clear, the Abarbanel seems to say this as well. It was because Yehonasan and David had that relationship that nobody else had. So it was clear that he said specifically about him more than anybody else over here. Okay, so either way, Vayomer David El Nar, the David said to the young man, Hamagidla, who told him all this, how do you know this is 100% true, right? And the first thing he wanted to say is, forget about the war for a second, how do you know Yehonasan and Shaul are dead? He wanted to know, is this personally, you saw this yourself, or you heard about it? How do we know that this is true? Vayomer Nar Hamagidlo, the Nar that told it to him, said the following, I happened to be on Har Gilboa. If this was an Amaleki, as we're about to say, Nikruni Kresi makes sense, because the whole idea behind Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech. They have the idea of Mikra. I happened to be there. Everything's random. There is no God. It happened to be I was there, and it worked out that I saw that he was dead over here, but nothing more than that. So Nikruni Kresi Bahar Gilboa. Vine Shol Nishan Al Chaniso. Shaul was leaning on his spear. Remember, the last time we saw Shaul, he had jumped on his spear because his lad wouldn't do it for him. And then all the charioteers and the mountaineers, the horsemen, they were all coming as close as they could to him, right over there. Marie Kara says, I wasn't looking for Shaul. I happened upon him. Now, if this is Doego Adomi, then this whole thing is a lie. Because he was with Shaul Melech. He knew exactly who Shaul Melech was. If it's not, then it's something else entirely, right? But that's the idea behind it. Chazal tells us that Shaul Melech was different from everybody else in how great he was. But Vayifet Acharav, right? Vayifet Acharav, he turned behind him. This is Shaul Melech. Vayarini, he saw me, said this guy. Vayikra Eli, and he called to me. Vayomar Hineni, and I said, here I am, my king. Vayomalini, he said to me, Miato, who are you? But Omar, and I said to him, a love Amaleki Anuchi. I am an Amaleki, right? I'm going to be over there. He was very quick. What it says over here, if you notice over here, it says Va'omar versus Vayomer, right? Vayomer is how it's written, but it's spelled Va'omar. He wasn't the one to answer the question. He was too scared to say to Shaul HaMelech that he was an Amaleki, to say I'm an Amaleki in front of Shaul HaMelech, who's afraid he was going to kill him. So Va'omar, someone said to him that I am an Amaleki, and that's what it was over there. Obviously, the Midah K'neged Midah is extreme. Shaul HaMelech, again, could not kill the Amalekim. He couldn't kill Agag, king of the Amalek. And now, at the end of his life, he sees an Amaleki, a kid who's saying that he's Amaleki right in front of him. If it's Doeg HaAdomi, again, it could have been Doeg HaAdomi, his David HaMelech's mortal enemy, then what was he saying, I'm an Amaleki? He means, I did my Amalek. It's my fault to Doeg HaAdomi. I should have had David HaMelech involved in this fight. He's blaming himself and trying to do tshuva, saying it's 100% my fault. But you're my lie. Pasuk test. But you're my lie. And he said to me, Amodna alai umosaseini, stand over me, please, and kill me. Because I'm getting shavats. Kikol nafshi be, as long as my soul's within me. He was dying. There's no question he was dying. He had his sword sticking through his stomach, right? But what is shavats? The Ralbag says, he says, I've got a problem. I'm wearing armor, and the sword is blocked by the armor. So I'm dying slowly. It's not going straight into me the way it should. I tried to aim for my heart because of the armor. It went off a little bit. So I'm pierced through my body, but I'm not dying yet. I need you to kill me quicker because I can't do this. I just can't keep this anymore. Shavats may be referring to the warriors who had their spears and these prongs at the end of the spears. He said, they're ready to kill me. So I need you to kill me first before the horsemen seize me and take me away. That's the idea behind it. Others say Shavats is the charge of Novi Arquanim, that I allowed Novi Arquanim to be destroyed, says Shaul HaMelech. That killed me. It's the fact that I'm afraid of what happened over here. And again, it's fitting if this is Doeg HaAdomi that he's asking Doeg to kill him. Doeg is the one who caused Shaul HaMelech to do all these horrible things. For Doeg to kill him makes a ton of sense, as he said over here. Once again, we said that it was mutter for Shaul HaMelech to commit suicide in this fashion because of the word ach. Ach es dimcham lanafsho sechem adrosh. You cannot commit suicide, but ach, there are times when you can, and if you're afraid, and he was, that there was going to be some type of a massive chilul Hashem by him being killed by the plishtim or being tortured by the plishtim, then it was mutter, and there wouldn't be any problem with him doing so. Here, I'll grab one of those. So it says the following. Pasuk Yud. The Amor Olav, I stood beside him, almost say you, and I killed him. Because I knew he wasn't going to live after he fell on that. But so I took the crown that was on his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought it over here to my master to show him that it's right over there. Some say that the bracelet on the arm and the crown that was on his head is not referring to an actual crown or a bracelet. It was the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh to show that Shaul HaMelech, I left everything else by him, I didn't care about anything else, but I wanted to bring the kadosh things back along with it. That's the idea behind it of what it is over here. Now there's a shiloh. Do we believe him or not? In Divrei Hayamim, when going through this story, it does not mention that he was killed by a Ger Amaleki. It does not mention the Amaleki whatsoever, right? So therefore, from Ezra must have felt that it wasn't true. On the other hand, it seems weird that somebody would make this up. Doesn't it seem strange that somebody would get up and make up such a story that this would happen? Maybe he was trying to ingratiate himself with David HaMelech, but it seems a very strange thing that he did. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayachazek David v'gadav v'yikra'im. When David HaMelech realized that this guy had seen it with his own eyes, he took his clothing and he tore it in half. The Gam Kol Hashem Shrito and everybody with him, they all tore Kriya. The king had died. Not only that, but it was also his father-in-law. They gave Hespedim. They cried. They fasted until the evening. Al-Shol, Val-Yonis, and Manoah, and Shol, and Yonis, and his son. Val-Am Hashem, as well as the people of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malbim says, the Chilul Hashem that was caused. Val-Beis Yisrael, Kinaf L'Bachar, as well as the tragedy that they all fell right over here. Some say that he tore three Kriyos. One for the king, One for the Av Beis Din, Yonasan was the Av Beis Din, and one for the national tragedy that happened over here. So David HaMelech actually tore his piece of his clothing three different times. One here, one here, one here, to be able to get it down. All on his left side, that's what you're supposed to do right over here. Now there is a Shiloh. Do you listen to a non-Jew who's telling you when someone is dead? If a person comes into court, a non-Jew, and says, I killed this guy, is that testimony good enough to be able to believe that person so that his wife can remarry someone else? I'm sorry? You're right. It does depend. What do you mean?
Like, if it's from his innocence, or...
Like, oh, Messiah Levitumo. Yeah. Well, this is definitely not Messiah Levitumo. This is straight up Eidus. I'm telling you what happened, and I saw it myself. So do you allow him to believe? So you're right. Most poskim hold that it's not good enough, and we wouldn't trust him in that way. And therefore, we don't know if Shaul HaMelech and Yonasan are dead, in the sense that Shaul HaMelech and Yonasan's wives would not be able to marry without a body. What? Hodas Bal Din Kamei Edin Dami does work, but not to every point. Now, the question is, by this, if we're trying to matur an aguna, does that work enough? To tear kriya, does that work enough? Lahalacha, at the very end of the day, we do hold that even one goy, if they're here to tell us something that we think has happened, and it's likely because the war was lost, and it's something that could be megala itself very easily. If the king was alive, everybody would know about it, we would believe. So therefore, even if it was a non-Jew, we do believe that he did it, and we do believe everything was there. But it's not the easiest thing in the world to be able to go through. Not only did he mourn Shaul HaMelech, he also mourned Shaul HaMelech because he was a Talmud Chacham. And there was a huge amount, just the fact that Shaul HaMelech was a huge Talmud Chacham should be enough to tear Kriya over him. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yemer David el Aram Agid lo, Eini zeh ata, where are you from? Because although he had said he's an Amaleki, where are you from exactly? Vayomer ben ish ger Amaleki anochi, I'm the son of an Amaleki convert. Right? Says the Abarbanel, David, he assumed, was going to have an interrogation to find out exactly what happened. Right? So the first thing he said was, right, is a lie. I'm a ger Amaleki. He was neither a convert nor the son of a convert. He had never been Megayer into Klal Yisrael. He was not a full Jew. But the Abarbanel says he immediately lied because he was scared out of his mind what David HaMelech was going to do to him. He knew the enmity between David and Amalek, especially because David HaMelech just came from fighting against Amalek and destroying the Amalekim over there. Right? And then afterward, David HaMelech responded in the Medrash and said, how can you be a Ger Amaleki? We don't accept Gerim from Amalek. How is it possible that you're a Ger Amaleki? It's absolutely impossible for it to be there. The Radak says, he says the following, I came from Amalek, but I settled in the land of Eretz Yisrael. That's what he means by Ger. Ger does not mean he converted. Ger means he's a Ger Toshav. This is where I lived. I lived in Eretz Yisrael my whole life. I've been around Jews my whole life. I'm not a real Ger, but I feel like I'm a Ger. I feel like I'm around over here. That's the idea of Yomer Lev David. How were you not afraid to put out your hand and kill the anointed one of Hashem? I myself had the ability to do so twice, said David HaMelech, and I held myself back because of the anointed one of Hashem. Even if he was standing there, sitting there dying, how dare you? You should have fought at his side, and when the plishtim came to take him away, you should have fought the plishtim and killed them, even if Shaul HaMelech is going to die 5 minutes later. You should have given up your life for the king. How in the world did you think over there? So he said, right over there, he said, you know what? Then it's 100% true. You deserve to die. Vayikra David la'achar me'an ha'arim. He called one of the young men, Vayomer Gash P'gabo, come closely, hit him, and he hit him and he died. By Yomer Lev David, Domcha Roshecha, your blood is on your own head. Ki Ficha Anabecha, Lemor, your mouth has told us yourself, saying, Anuchim Mosati Es Mashiach Hashem, that I have killed the anointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. Halachically, Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Med Aleph says, that if a person tells you to kill them, even if they're dying, you are not allowed to do it. The person has no permission to ask you to kill him, and you are not allowed to kill him whatsoever. Maybe the Ger Amaleki had a thought of, again, Shaul needs to die so the police don't take him. But again, David HaMelech's line back to him was, then you should have fought. If this is Doeg, right, and it's Doeg Adomi, if that's the idea behind it, then he went up to Doeg and said, it's your fault. You're the one who said to Shaul HaMelech that he could keep Agag alive. You're the one that caused him not to destroy all of Amalek. So it's your fault. So he's not literally a Ger Amaleki. He was saying, your reasoning for why you are supposed to die right now is because you kept Amalek alive. That's why Shaul HaMelech died, and that's what happened over here. Your blood is on your own head, because not only you went ahead and you didn't kill Amalek, but you killed Novi or Kohanim. That's in your own head. You deserve it, and therefore, because of that, it's right over there. Now, was he Chayv Misa? So it's possible. his own testimony, right? I mean, maybe the Abarbanel would say his crown, you know, corroborated his account. But his own testimony, he could have, in theory, been killed. But number one, we have no aid into what he did. Number two, he wasn't warned beforehand. You can't kill someone without warning somebody beforehand. Number three, Shaul HaMelech was anyway for sure going to die. Halachically speaking, even though you're not allowed to kill someone who's about to die, you're not chayiv misa for somebody who's already dying. So if he really was about to die, you can't kill somebody who went ahead and did this. So why in the world is David HaMelech killing him? If those three reasons are true, why in the world would David HaMelech kill him? And the answer is, he was an Amaleki. Or he's Doi Gadomi. Right? And because of that, he was willing to do it. I'm sorry? Morid B'malchus Horas Shah, right? He felt that this was needed at this time. Right? It's possible it's there. It's also very possible and very likely he wanted to save the other kids of Shaul. What is he afraid of? He's afraid, if I go ahead and allow this Amaleki to live, he's going to go around saying, I killed Shaul. People will go around trying to ingratiate themselves to me by killing the rest of the children of Shaul. He has other kids. We still know Ish-Boshes is alive. There are other grandkids that are alive. Mephibosheth is still alive. Maybe people are going to go around killing all the children and the grandchildren of Shaul, saying like, look, that guy killed Shaul and he didn't do anything. That's over there. So therefore, he said, 100% he has to kill him right now in order to make sure that everybody knows this is the wrong thing to do. Rabak says, if you kill a king, you always deserve to be punished. No matter what, you deserve to be punished. I'm sorry? The ultimate Morid B'malchus, right, 100%. So the new king was able to do whatever he wanted. Yud Zayin. And then David HaMelech made a lamentation, made a kina, a song, a dirge over Shaul and Yehonasan, his son. He gave a hespit. He gave a hespit over here. If you notice, by the way, once again, he says Al Shaul, not Shaul HaMelech. Even though he's dead, he did not call him Shaul HaMelech, because remember that respect he had somewhat lost, except in front of his face. Vayomer, L'lamed B'nei Yehuda Keshes, to teach the B'nai Yehuda the bow. Hinei Ksuv al Sefer Yashar, that is written in the book of the upright over here. The first thing he said is he ordered the children of Yehuda to start going, using the bow and arrow, because we're about to be attacked again. If the Plishtim were able to destroy that many people the first time around, they're coming back. We got to get everyone ready. We have to get them trained in the art of warfare to get them ready over here. Number two, to avenge the death of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was just killed. Tell everybody to get their bows and arrows ready, because we're ready to go to war to be able to go ahead right there. That's the idea. Now, it is strange. The Radak says, why are we bringing up Yehuda when Shaul is from Binyamin? Yehuda's the other Shevet. Why would you do that? But it may be that this is part of the dirge to encourage everyone. It's tragic, but we have hope. We're still going to be able to build ourselves up. We'll still be able to do great things anymore. We may not have Schus Avos. We may not have that Schus of Shaul HaMelech, but we'll still be able to do it. And that's what he was saying. Sefer HaYashar is a big shaila about what Sefer HaYashar is. It's either the Torah, Sefer Devarim, or something else entirely. But the Sefer HaYashar is throughout the Sfarim of the Torah, we have this idea of being able to fight, to be able to go out and do what we need to do. Maybe that's what we need to do here. Pasuk Yates, Hatzvi Yisrael, obviously the greatest word in the history of any pasuk anywhere. Hatzvi Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael is absolutely beautiful. You see it? Good?
Yeah.
Got it. Just want to make sure you knew. Tzvi means beautiful, right? That's that. Alba Mosecha, upon your heights, Chalal. That's where your corpses are. Eich Nafli Giborim, how could the mighty have fallen over here? Stamari Kara and the Barbanel and the Malvim all say they had the high ground. Shaul HaMelech was on a mountain. How in the world did he get destroyed when he was up on top of a mountain? That seems ridiculous. How in the world did that happen over here? He was so shocked by that happening. Al Tagidu Begas. Don't let the people in Gas know about this, the Plishtim. Al Tavasu Bechutzos Ashkelon. Don't tell it over in the streets of Ashkelon. Pentismachna Benos Plishtim. I don't want the daughters of Plishtim to rejoice over this. Pentalozna Benos Arelim. The daughters of those uncircumcised people, they're going to be mirthful. They're going to go around saying everything. Don't let the Plishtim know. Hari Begoboa, the mountains of Goboa, Al Tal Valmatr, do not allow any dew or rain upon you. Aleichem. Usdei Trumos, nor let there be fields of offerings. Kisham Nigal Magin Gibor, because there the shield of the mighty was rejected. Magin Shaul, the shield of Shaul, Mashiach, Beli Mashiach Bashamin, as if it wasn't anointed with oil. Remember back then they used to take their shields, they were made mostly with leather, it was a cheaper material, and they used to cover it with oil on the outside, so when a person would try to get them with the sword would slide off. So of course, if you hit hard enough, it would go through the shield, right? But the shield was there, mostly it would just slide off. You'd have to hit it right in the right way, right over here. So first the Abarbanel says, there should be no dew, no rain upon the mountains. I want the blood to remain on top there. I want the blood to sit on top of there so that everybody sees what happened on that mountain, and that it should be cursed because it allowed Shaul HaMelech to be killed on top of that mountain itself. It should be cursed forever. That's what it says over here. Malvin says, especially, because if the rains come down and wash down the blood is going to turn into the rivers. And then that blood of the Jews that were slain on top of the mountain is going to be used to harvest the next upcoming crops. Although that's not usher, it's disgusting that we're using the blood of the great Jews that died in this war to be able to harvest the crops of Klal Yisrael. So do not let the rain happen so that the blood is saturated just in the ground and it doesn't go anywhere else over there. But he says he couldn't believe, it was just shock, that this could have happened over here. Midam chalal mechil geburim, from the blood of those their corpses, from the fat of the mighty. Keshes Yonason lo nasog, the bow of Yonason didn't turn back a whore backward. The cherev shol lo sashav rekam, the sword of Shol never returned empty. That even though they knew they were going to die in this battle, I've never seen Shol. Remember, Yonason's the one that fought by himself against that war originally against Amon. He fought by himself. He was willing to go up against with him and his swordsman or his shieldsman that was by there. And now he falls at the hands of the Plishtim who are weaker than that? How could that have happened? And Shaul HaMelech himself was a huge warrior, even if he had his problems. He's only 2 years older than what he was 2 years ago when he was this massive warrior and over there. What happened? Said David HaMelech. How could this have happened? Shaul HaMelech and Ahavim and Imim, they were loved and they were pleasant to him in their lives of Moslem and Nifrad. In their death, they should not be separated from each other. Minashar and Kalu, they were lighter than eagles. Me'arayus Gaveir, they were stronger than lions. Chazal say that refers to what they did in their learning, that they were lighter than eagles and what they soared to great heights in their learning, and they were stronger than lions. When they had an opinion, they fought like lions for their opinions. Benos Yisrael Shol Bechena, all daughters of Israel to Shol, they should cry, Malbishchem Shani Imadonim, who clothed you in scarlet together with fineries, Hamala Adizav Alavushchem, who allowed you to have gold upon your Levushim. Now simple pshat, because when Shol went to war, he brought back many spoils and allowed them to become very wealthy. That's the simple pshat over here. Medrash Shmuel says that when the men of Israel would go out to war, the daughters of the other nations would dress up in their finest to seduce the Jews and make them take them home with them. So because of that, Shaul HaMelech, before they went to war, would dress the Benos Yisrael. He would give money to the Benos Yisrael to dress up in their finest so that the men, when they were at war, would remember how good-looking their wives were so they wouldn't think about these daughters. That's the reason why he said those women that are wearing, the women that are in Klal Yisrael have all these great clothes on, everything, the gold and silver and everything like that because of this. Medrash Shmuel says another idea, that Shaul HaMelech had tremendous respect for all the Torah scholars. He's not referring to over here a Benos Yisrael. He's referring to the Benos Yisrael as in those who sat and learned Torah, that he would encourage them. He would give them food and drink and help them with whatever they needed. And that's what it refers to over here. How could these strong men have died in the middle of the war? Yonasan, you were slain on the high places again because of how great he was. I'm anguished over you, my brother Yonasan. Na'am tilim od, you were awesome to me. You were so pleasant to me. Niflasa avas cholimi avas nashim. Your love to me was greater than the love of any women. Your love to me was greater than anything else out there. And if you notice, Yehonasan is mentioned with an extra hey over here. We mentioned throughout over here, hey is added on to be able to mention how great Yehonasan was. Obviously, we know the famous word that Yud and Hey is by Ish and Isha. That you add the Yud and Hey to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a man and a wife, right, when they get married, then there's supposed to be the Shekhinah is added to that relationship as well. It could be that that's what he's referring to over here, that there was the Shekhinah was there when David and Yehonasan were together. The David and Yehonasan were such good friends and so unbelievable. It was great for them to be together at all times. Yonason was killed, yeah, in the army along with them. I'm sorry?
The same war.
The same place. So was Avinadav and Malkishua, but David and Mel didn't know about them yet, the other two sons of Shaul. Rabbi Nachum Azar Mipano says that he said there were Me'avas Nashim, he's greater than Rachel, Leah, Sarah, etc., and Rivka, I mean, etc. It was more awesome to me than the love even of the most for one another. Even Rachel and Leah were willing to do anything for each other. My love for you was greater than that. How could it be that these strong men have fallen, right, and the Klei Mochama, the weapons of war, are lost completely? We lost the Nisim, the miracles that we usually had. How could it be over here that they lost their strength? Especially because we had archers ourselves, and somehow everybody was gone. So that's the end of Perek Yalef. We have David HaMelech, I guess you could say, killing the Ger Amaleki / Doi Goadomi for what he had done to Shaul HaMelech, if it was true. Even if it wasn't true, for even saying that it was true. and then singing a song over here. So Parak Beis, V'yachreichein, after everything was over, V'yishal David v'Hashem le'mor. So David HaMelech now had Akasha. He didn't know what to do. What's he supposed to do now? He's sitting in Siklag. The Plishtim are returning from the war against the Jews, right? And he's in very, very big trouble. Because by this time, the Plishtim had won the war against Shaul, and they had killed Shaul. They knew that Shaul HaMelech was dead. By this time, they all knew. If they all knew that Shaul HaMelech was dead, that means they know the next in line to become king, and the one that always had the rumors about him, was David HaMelech himself. So Achish was going to find him. Either they were going to fight the Jews, the Plishti army was going to go straight to David HaMelech and say, obviously fight him until he's dead, or they were going to force David HaMelech to make a peace treaty. And David HaMelech did not want to make a peace treaty with Achish, the king of Gaza. So now he didn't know what to do. So he asked Hashem, meaning he went to the Urim V'Tumim in Lamor, and he said, Ha'ala ba'achazor Yehuda? Should I go up to one of the cities of Yehuda? Should I stay here? V'yomar Hashem Elav, and Hashem said to him, Alei, go up. V'yomar David, Ana Ela, where should I go? V'yomar Chavrona. You should go to Chavron itself. He so badly wanted to go back. If she went, wanted to go back so bad, where should I go to? That was the idea behind it. So again, I already told you that he's worried about Achish, about what could be. That's from the Abarbanel, But this shows you the greatness of David HaMelech over Shaul HaMelech. He obviously thought that the best thing for him to do was go to Eretz Yisrael right now. But he wouldn't do anything without asking, as opposed, unfortunately, to Shaul HaMelech, who did everything without asking the Urim V'Tumim, went up to war and did things without asking. David HaMelech refused to do anything without doing anything at all. The Malvim says that David HaMelech had another worry. He said, should I go up to Yehuda? Should I go up to Binyamin? Who's going to be the next king? Is Ish-Boshes going to be named the next king? Is one of Shaul's kids or grandkids going to be named the next king? Or am I the next king? I know I was anointed, but I'm not sure what to do over here. What am I supposed to do over here? Okay. The Zohar says that the reason why he was told to go to Chevron is because we all know that David and Adam Arishon are connected to one another. We know that Adam Arishon was supposed to live 1,000 years. He ended up living 930 and gave his 70 years to David HaMelech. Everybody knows that medrash, and everybody goes through there. Chazal say that he should go to Chevron to show his connection to Adam Arishon and Chava, etc., and his Chos Avos. He should daven to the Avos, daven at their graveside, ask them to be able to help him, so that he could be the next king of Klal Yisrael over here. That's the idea behind it and what it was. Over here, if you notice, by the way, the word Chavrona is missing a Vav. There's no Vav inside there, and that's because there were 6 years, a little bit more than that, that he stayed in Chevron before he became the full king over Klal Yisrael. So that's the reason why the Vav is made. We'll see, it's really 7 years. But either way, so David went up with his two wives, Achinoam and Avigail. And notice, by the way, again, she's known as the wife of Nevel HaKarmeli. We've mentioned that before because that's how she was known. Along with the men with them, each man and their household, they all went and settled in the cities of Chevron. Now, if you look over there, that doesn't make any sense. David HaMelech had everything to be afraid of right now. The Plishtim were probably coming after him. Nobody knew what was going to be with the Jews if the Binyaminite kings were going to come after him. And instead, he settled in the cities of Chevron. He didn't make a fortress. He sat down, trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and was unprotected. And so whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, that's what it'll be. He even brought his wives. He didn't hide his wives and his children and everybody out there. He said, guys, let's go back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to go back. He didn't say that I should keep anybody here. We're going back and we're settling down and we'll see what's going to be. The men of Yehuda came, they anointed him there to be king over the house of Yehuda. Because again, he was anointed by Shmuel and Avi. Now he's anointed by Beis Yehuda and Yehuda. And then they told him, the people of Yavish Gilead were the ones who buried Shaul HaMelech. They were the ones who did it over there. I think it was partly David's humility that made everybody convinced that this is going to be our king. They may not have wanted it, might not have wanted it in the first place. Maybe they were still on Binyamin's side, but they saw his humility that he came down and he didn't force himself upon them to be their king. He sat there and he said, if you want me to be king, I'll be king. I do have the anointment of Shmuel and Avi. And when they saw that, they said, you know what, we're going to go. We're going to go and we're going to make him king. And that's the reason why he was made king over everybody else. But you saw David Malach and Yavish Gilad. David sent messengers to the people of Yavish Gilad, and he said to them, Bruch Atam Lashem, you're blessed to Hashem, Shasisim Achesed Azem Adunechem, Im Shol. I can't believe you did this awesome chesed with your master with Shol, Vatik Bro, so you buried him. May God do chesed and emes with you, and I'm going to do you this good, because you've done this over here. The first thing David does as king of the kingdom is thank the people of Yavish Gilead for burying the previous king, Shaul HaMelech. They obviously were scared that David was going to be angry at them for doing so, because he was obviously the enemy of Shaul HaMelech. But the first thing he did is he told them, don't worry about anything. If the Plishtim try to do something to you for taking away Shaul HaMelech's body, I'm on your side. I will fight with you. I'll be sure to fight with you over there. Strengthen your hands, he says. Be warriors. Because your master Shaul died. And because I was anointed by Beis Yehuda to be king over you, I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything at all. Where's the Plishtim in all this? Where are the Plishtim during all this? Why weren't the Plishtim coming up and stopping David HaMelech from doing all this? Where were they? Well, the answer is simple. The Plishtim didn't even know about this yet. They finished the war, they went back, and they were partying in their houses. At some point, Achish probably sent a message to David, say, come and party with us, and the messenger came back and said, but remember, Ziklag was a three-day trip from where they were by the Plishtim, where the Plishtim were. It was a three-day trip. So let's say the messenger went really quick and did it in a day and a half. It went for a day and a half, came back in a day and a half. It was 3 days later. By that time, David HaMelech had already settled his throne. By this time, Achish is scared. He doesn't know what to do. David HaMelech is named king. I'm not sure what to do. Maybe even sent messages to David. Let's make peace. Let's make peace. And David refused to answer him. So the Plishtim may have been around, but nothing was happening. Pasuk Ches. Avner ben Ner sar tzva asher l'Shaul. Avner ben Ner was the general of Shaul's army. Lachach zish boshes ben Shaul v'yavireu machanayim. He took Ish-boshes, the son of Shaul. He was the fourth oldest son. He never went to war. He's never mentioned above because he didn't fight in any wars. But he was the one. And he passed him to Machanayim. And he made him king by the Gilad, Vel Ashuri, Vel Yisrael, Vel Ephraim, Vel Binyamin, Vel Yisrael Kulo. He went little by little, from place to place, gathering the different parts of the kingdom, saying to the people there, do you want this guy? Do you want this guy? It's Shaul's son. It's Shaul's son. And little by little, he got everybody. While David HaMelech is sitting down in Yehuda and allowing everybody to come to him, Avner ben Ner brought his guy, Ish-boshes, to each place to be able to go through. Why did Avner ben Ner do this? Avner ben Ner darshan to pasuk in the Torah, says the Gemara. He darshan a pasuk that says, Melachim mimcha yetzeyu. I'm sorry? Mechalatzecha, thank you. Kings will come from your loins. Now at the time, only one child had not been born. Binyamin had not been born yet. When he said kings will come from your loins, and it's referring to Binyamin's kids, Binyamin's future kids, he realized there can't be one king from Sheva Binyamin. There's got to be two kings from Sheva Binyamin. One of them was Shaul. The second king will be Ish-boshes. So his drush was there had to be a second king. The second king didn't have to be king until the end of his life. It could be he'll only be king for a little bit and he won't be king afterward. It could be that it's only going to last a little bit. But he's got to have two kings. And therefore, he felt that this is the most important thing. He decided to bring them all over the place, and he brought them over everywhere. So again, we're going to go into how long this took, but regardless, Ish-boshes ended up becoming the king.
What about him? What about Avner doing it just so that he can basically keep himself alive? Because he was a dead man walking.
Not a dead man walking. At this point, Yoav and Avner have not gotten into a fight.
Yeah, but Avner doesn't know that. David HaMelech? Peace with him. He's like, this guy, I've been pursuing this guy for a year, and now he's going to kill him.
You are 100% right. And it could be that Avner was scared of that. There's no question. It could be that he was scared of that. And it could be that that also went into his line of reasoning.
That gave him cover.
Yeah.
Having Shaul's son be the king.
I would think that this would be even more of a Morid B'Malchus, where he knows David HaMelech is supposed to be king, and he goes ahead and he makes somebody else king. I would think that if David wanted to kill him, this would be the reason why he'd go ahead and kill him.
He doesn't necessarily know that. Usually when a king dies, his son becomes the king. So the natural progression of things is he has every right to go and take Ish-boshet and crown him the king.
He did know that Shmuel and Avi had anointed David.
Right, he anointed him.
Yeah.
Well, someone come and tell me that Shmuel prophesied.
It would be strange. You're right. I totally agree with you. It's very possible. It just seems strange that Avner wouldn't have known this by now. Avner would not have been privy to all this. Now, I'm sorry? And going around, it just seems strange. Now, again, it could very well be that he really did think this is the only way I'm going to live, right? But we see what happens later on when he gets into a fight with Ish-boshes, right? When he gets in a fight with Ish-boshes, he immediately goes to David HaMelech. And that's strange, because this is after he's already allowed Ish-boshes to be king for seven years.
He has something to offer. Right now, if it's just David is king and Avner is just a guy...
Whoa. He was definitely a general.
He was a general, yes. but he doesn't have... with Ishbosheth king and him being the general of Ishbosheth, now he's okay. got a lot more.
I definitely hear you, because you're 100% right that Abner ended up being the de facto king of the country. And we'll see, that's one of the reasons why he was willing to marry Ritzbah Basaya. So you're right, there is something to what Abner was doing over here. Something is strange about it, but I hear that. I don't want to argue with that. That makes a little bit of sense. There's another thing, Ishbosheth.
You get that on tape, you said something I said makes a little bit of sense. That's
it might be the only right? time. We'll keep this for right now. But a little bit. Ishbosheth also was known as Ishbal. He's known as that in Divrei Yamin because he set fire to the Baal itself. It is a weird name, and we don't have any stories of how this man, Ishbosheth, fought the Baal. We have no clue how that happened or when that happened or where that happened, nothing. But he's known as Ishbal, which seems like that. It would be very strange if his actual name was Ishbal and he had the word Baal in his name when Baal was such a huge idol at the time. It would be strange altogether if it didn't mean that way, but I don't know. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Ben Arvayim Shana Ishbosheth Ben Shol B'Malcho. This is the strangest Pasuk I feel in it's up there in Tanakh. Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel. Ushtayim shanim malach. He was king for 2 years. We'll get to that in a second. Ach beis Yehuda hayu achrei David, but beis Yehuda went after David. Vayimispar yom asher hayu David melech b'chavron al beis Yehuda, sheva shanim v'shisha chadashim. The total amount of days that David melech was king in Chavron, and beis Yehuda was 7 years and 6 months altogether. Now, why do I find this so strange? I didn't think of Shaul as being that old. And Ishbal is the fourth oldest son, Ishbosheth, I'm sorry, or Ishbal, right, was the fourth oldest son of Shaul HaMelech. And he was 40 when he became king.
Shaul could have been in his 60s.
Which means, if you thought that way, meaning yes, it has to be. Shaul must have been 60. But I always assumed that Shmuel and Avi was older than Shaul. Shaul is known as a nar, a young man, when he goes to meet Shmuel and Avi. But in fact, he was 8 to 10 years older than Shmuel. It's just strange. It's just a strange thing to think about. You don't think about it that way.
He was a nar, wasn't he? And attended him for his father. He used to like tend his father's...
Yes, you can say... There's no question. It just... The whole time you've been thinking, Shaul HaMelech sounds like he's 30. Sounds like he's 30.
Yeah, but Jonathan's like a warrior, so he can't be 30.
So you'd say like Jonathan is 18, 19 years old. You know, he got married young or whatever it was. In theory, you could say it, but like, I know, it just bothers me. But this means, again, if Ishbal is 40. Now let's put everything on the table. Maybe this is, because it only says he was king for 2 years. We know he was king for 7 years. So maybe it was 5 years later.
Why do we know that he was... Meaning David was king for 7 years.
Because David took 7 years to be king over Bnei Yisrael. He was king in Hebron for 7.5 right. years. That means during that time, 7.5 years, Ishbosheth was the king. But it says he was only king for 2 years. So let's say the 2 years that we meant were it took 5 years to consolidate his reign. And then he was actually king for 2 years overall of Bnei Yehuda, of Bnei Yisrael, I'm sorry. Let's say that happened. That means he's 40 years old during the last year.
Five
so actually
years,
he was 35 when Shaul HaMelech died. Okay, that's okay. It's a little bit better. And let's say he was the oldest of the kids. Let's say he was the oldest of all the sons. Yonasan was not the oldest. And Malkishua and Abinadab were all younger than him. Even though he's not mentioned before, let's say Ishbal was the oldest of all the sons. Doesn't seem that way, but let's say it that way. 35, the oldest, let's assume Shaul HaMelech gave birth at the age of 15. Say he was 15. That still means he was 50 years old right at the age of Shaul HaMelech. Again, it's a little bit better. It's just
also, who says
strange.
That all the sons were from the same mother?
You're right. It could have been at the same time. Age. Yeah, it could very well be. It just seems strange. It just definitely seems strange over here. Okay, and very quickly. It's just weird also because Shaul HaMelech would have had multiple wives before he became, way before he became king. It's definitely possible. And it also could be, again, this is always hinted to in Tanakh, but it's never said outright. Shaul HaMelech, we assume, was king for 2.5 years. It seems like he was king for longer. We don't have any proof for it. The Abarbanel points it out, and he says it doesn't seem like he was actually king for 2.5 years.
Does it say anywhere that he was king for 2.5 years?
Yeah, Shtayim Shanim. But it doesn't say the end of his reign that he was king for 2 years over Israel. It just says he was Ben Shana B'Molcho. He was 1 year into his kingdom. And then it says, you know, Shnayim Molach, the two wording. But it doesn't say anything more than that. So it could be that we're missing something. It could be there's something else missing. Either way, Tosfos and the Radak say... He was only king for 2 years because he was supported by Abner. And after the 2 years, in other words, he was king for 2 years, and then the kingdom started to crumble. Little by little, people started joining David HaMelech. So for the next 5 years, even though he was king, but he wasn't king. everybody started going to David HaMelech, and he was known as the king, but it was sort of like a figurehead. So that's why he was really only king for 2 years. The Alshech says it took 5 years to convince everybody that they would still want a king. So 5 years went by where nothing was happening, and then another 2 years. You'd assume, by the way, over these 7 years that there were skirmishes with the Plishtim, right. But I think Achish must have been scared of David HaMelech. He knew who David HaMelech was.
That, David would owe something to Achish.
I'm sorry? That he would
owe him something.
And that's probably why David HaMelech never fought Achish directly. That's probably why David HaMelech never went on the offensive in order to avenge the death of Shaul HaMelech. He probably never did it for that reason. And Ish-bosheth never did it because Ish-bosheth probably was not a warrior. He didn't want to go out and do anything. Okay, that's that. The Rashi says that pshat as well, like the Alshech. And the Ralbag says that no. This happened. Pasuk Yud Beis happened after he was ruling for 2 years. He was actually king for 7 years, but the following story happened after 2 years. Now, this story is unbelievable. Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel will end with these. Vayetze Avner ben Ner v'avde Ish-bosheth ben Shaul m'Machanayim Givona. Avner ben Ner and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Shaul, they went from Machanayim to Givon. Yoav ben Tsruya v'avdi David Yotsu. Yoav ben Tsruya, Yoav, the son of David HaMelech's sister. We have no idea why Yoav was not known by his father's name. He was known by his mother's name. Could be that his father died when he was very young and he was raised by his mother only. It could be that Tsruya was more chashuv than her husband. But we don't know. We have no idea who Tsruya was married to. But Yoav ben Tsruya v'avdi David Yotsu, they all went out. V'yiv gishum al brechas Givon. They met each other by the pool by Givon, Yachtov, at the same time. They both stood. The armies were on each side of the pool. Chazal tell us in Sanhedrin, Chafam and Al, that Avner ben Ner is blamed for this, and he loses his life because of what happens over here. This pool of Givon, by the way, is now known as El Jib. I have no idea where it is. Somebody tried showing it to me, but apparently it still exists today by Givon. We'd have to go through it. I'm not sure if that's still a place we can go to today. I don't know if it's in the West Bank or not. I don't think so because it's west of Yerushalayim. So I think it's able to be gone to, but it was supposed to be right over here. Now, why did Avner ben Ner do this? Avner ben Ner saw that Ish-bosheth's kingdom was beginning to crumble. And what he said was, he suggested, let's display the warriors. Let's have a display of strength to show everybody how great we really are. It totally backfired because he lost horribly to David HaMelech's army. But he decided, you know, we'll have like a little skirmish. We'll have a little skirmish over here and have that. I don't know if that... Here, we'll have to see because... That might be Avner never intended for people to be killed and then it got out of hand. It could be. It could be it's that way. Okay? Now, here, so Avner said, like, he wanted everybody to go around. He wanted to publicize how awesome this was, and that's why they had it by the pool. He called Yoav and he said, let's have a war game and we'll fight each other. We'll show who's stronger and everything else, and that's that. Okay? So that's what it could be over here. Yoav meant to fight Avner. Right? He meant to fight Avner. As soon as he came there, the Radak says that Yoav really hated Avner. And he wanted to fight Avner right then and kill him. But when he saw how many people Avner brought to this area, he backed off and said, all right, we'll just have a war game. But his plan was to mamish kill him. And that's in the Malbim, shockingly says, it was coincidental. At the same time, Yoav came there, Avner came there, they had their armies. So like, hey, let's have a game. Let's have a little wrestling thing.
But this kind of game is not a game.
It seems strange. Well, again, it makes sense if you're trying to show off your strength.
They don't have war games in the Mediterranean. They don't kill each other.
No. But you have, like, you know, wrestling matches and whatever it was. So, v'yomer avno yoav yakuna on the army yisachku lifanim. It would be weird, right? They'll play in front of us. You know, they'll have a game. They'll have a little game. That's why it sounds like it's that. V'yomer yoav yakumu. Yoav said, all right, let them get up. Okay? That's that. Now, later on, Avner tells one of the lads, tells Asol, when Asol was chasing after him, and we'll see this later, he turns to Asol and he says, go grab a lad, right? Go grab a lad and take his garment. It sounds like not to kill him. Like this wasn't meant to be death. There wasn't meant to be death involved. From what Avner said later on, it sounds like that. But nevertheless, there's no question Avner is to blame for suggesting it. He suggested he put it around. Yeah, just calling it amusement is weird. Yeah, and there's no question. Yoav is also blamed, as we'll see. But nonetheless, there's something right over here. The Das Sofrim says Avner was positive that he was going to be victorious. Because he was convinced that he had shot in the pasuk correctly that the next king would be Binyamin. So he figured, let's get rid of David HaMelech. This is the way to get rid of David HaMelech. He was absolutely positive. Not only that, Says the Medrash, he knew which warriors had strengths and which didn't, and he knew who Yoav had brought to the battle. He specifically chose warriors that would be the opposite of the strength of the warriors of Yoav. He was convinced, he had thought this all through, he had like watched the tapes, you know what I'm saying? Watched the tapes and had seen who's going to be able to fight and where, and he had a whole plan of what he wanted to do over here, and unfortunately, it didn't happen that way. The strengths of both people were strong enough that they killed each other. We'll stop with that, guys. We'll start with Pasuk Tezvav next time.
Right outside the Marzmah Pela, which is